Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a brand new podcast with me, Sips Empyrean. It's really fun. I really like it. I hope you do too. This is a great place for it. The old pod will still continue with me and Simon as regularly as it always has. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new podcast with me, Lewis, Sips.
Hello.
And Pyrian Flax.
Hello.
Ted. A.K.A.
No, that's
the
it.
Old man.
Okay, well, I'm the old man. All right, okay. No, I've got 12 more days of still being not 40. Once I hit 40, then I guess that's proper old man status right there.
Holy shit, that's a milestone. I didn't realize that you were that close to the big 4-0. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's when that's it. 12 days time.
I like it how they call Dota players the old man when they're about 25.
Yeah, so It's depressing.
Yeah. So this is a new podcast. We haven't even got a name for it yet. I guess there'll be a name in the title, because we're going to decide now what the name is going to be, right? Because me and Pyrian Flax have been doing this thing where we cast Scrub Dota games, right? And it's currently called Lewis and Pyrian Cast Scrub Dota.
I thought it was a catchy title when I came up with it.
It's so very specific.
I sent an email out to Harry and everyone around like that I like in the office. So basically just like Harry.
Just Harry.
And we got a few suggestions back. You sent me an email yesterday with suggestions, PFlex.
Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, I mean, the one that was stuck out, right, was Dirtbox Dota.
Yeah, I like that one.
Now, I didn't like that because it sounds quite filthy. Now, I want...
Dirtbox.
Like, listen, I want to have this Dota series where... you know, it becomes like the biggest thing in the world. Okay,
it won't, but okay.
But if it's called Dirtbox Dota, it sounds filthy immediately. The other idea you had was call it Filthy Casuals.
Yeah.
Okay, which does work, but again, it's got that word on it. Is that sort of dirty?
Are you saying
word.
that these titles I've suggested are too smutty? Is that the problem?
They're a little bit smutty, yeah. Okay. I think they're too smutty.
Let's run the alternatives by Sips and we'll see what he thinks. Right.
So all right, Sips, I'm ready.
Sips, here's the gist of it, right? People send us a replay of a Dota game. Me and Lulu watch the replay and we cast the game as if we're like casters.
Yeah.
And these guys are so bad that we actually look good and have knowledge compared to these guys, okay? So this is like the lowest of the low. So here are the suggestions.
Two people who aren't very good at Dota people who are bad at Dota.
That's even worse. Yeah.
I saw the tweet yesterday where you're like, somebody said to you, do these guys have a high enough MMR to be taken seriously as commentators and or critics of gameplay? I mean, I guess it's a point, but I mean, if you're saying that these guys are so bad that they don't even buy boots and stuff, then, maybe.
I mean, it's literally so far down the trench. It's like, it's basically people with like less than 100 games, some of them, genuinely.
So if you guys are like 1.5... K MMR and you're commenting on people with 500 MMR, that's probably okay, right?
Well, like, yeah, true. But
we're like three and a half, right? Which for these guys is unreachable. I would genuinely suggest that many of these players will never reach anything like 3 to 3.5K, even with hard work.
Because P-flex. We're very average players.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
The thing is, but that means you're bad, okay, in a way, in Dota. I've played 3,700 hours of Dota. How many have you got, PFlax? Something like 5,000?
Just shy of 5,000, yeah.
I mean, that is a lot of Dota. And we are commenting on these people's games who've played maybe had 100 wins.
Yeah.
Now, 100 wins is a lot of Dota, okay? How many... That's 100 wins is 200 hours of Dota, probably.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How many games do you play 200 hours of, okay, without being decent at them, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I've finished... I've got any internet at home, okay? I had to... Because I've moved flat, I've had to basically look at my Steam library, see what was installed on my PC, and just go with it, okay? So I played Wolfenstein, The New Order... Nice. It took me about 4.5 hours to burn through that game. I just cruised through it. 4.5 hours. And I was like, I felt like I was the boss at the end of that game.
Yeah.
A new player who spent 200 hours in Dota, we consider to be a complete fucking massive mega noob.
Well, it just shows the skill cap in Dota 2. Like, they say that it's probably got the highest skill cap of any game out there right now that's played competitively, right? So it just shows
StarCraft,
you guys have like 5,000 hours.
It's Dota, definitely.
I've got 828 hours of Dota 2, and I suck balls. Like, I barely win games. Like, I have to play really easy heroes in like really easy roles where I'm just like, I have my hand held or whatever. Like, I can't play carry. I can't kill people as a carry. I mean, I can't do shit in that game.
It's all right.
That's why I don't play it now.
It's all right. Relax. Don't worry.
I uninstalled it. I got mad and I uninstalled it. Yeah.
So here are the suggestions. All right. So these are, we need to work on these, obviously. Destination trench.
Destination colon trench.
Yeah. Destination colon trench.
I have a problem with any title of anything that has a colon in it.
Yeah. I like the destination though.
But I like it.
That's nice. Like destination, you know. The gutter.
It's like we could call it Road to 1K MMR.
Yeah, but it's that Road to stuff is, it's all been done. You see here the Lewis and Flax expedition, which is like the Lewis and Clark expedition, right? And we're like,
oh, I get it.
I thought we'd be like on a journey.
We're pioneering.
Like, you know, we're parting the long grass and to see the crazy people that live in 500 MMR bracket.
We're enslaving and seducing natives. Yeah.
You guys can like Attenborough that shit too. You can just be like, and here. Here we see the 500 MMR player playing Dota 2 quietly alone.
Exactly.
He's crying. Yeah.
And we're, like the thumbnail could be us with pith helmets on, sort of looking through the grass, and there's like, you know, Dota happening. Anyway, Rolling in the Deep. I just took that out there because I happened to be listening to that song, so I thought that would do.
Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
Rolling
like the deep trench, right? Anyway, Dirtbox Dota, which I thought was funny. But apparently, you know, when this is on children's BBC or something, it'll be considered too smutty. When, you know, Lewis thinks it's going to be made into some, there'll be a billboard in Times Square advertising our series, and people will have a problem then with the name. Incompetent.
Yeah. I like it now.
Incompetent Bastards, which is like, instead of Inglorious Bastards, they're Incompetent Bastards. But I wasn't sure, because the thing is that Bastards is spelt with an E, and that annoys me. So I had to correct the spelling to Bastards, spelt with an A, and I knew that people would have a problem with that.
I don't think a lot of people get the reference. That's the problem.
Yeah.
They'll just constantly be correcting you, saying you spelled Bastards wrong.
But I kind of wanted something different from just the trench, potato bracket, all that stuff. Kind of, we wanted something original, so it's hard to come up with a name for it.
It is, yeah. That's a tough one, actually. I mean, I tend to think that you guys have it already in what PFLAX has called it.
The most
Lewis and
basic descriptive title.
Some Dota 2. Yeah, it's very specific. It does what it says on the tin, and that's important nowadays.
There's
right?
no
it's
confusion
not convoluted.
There.
Yeah.
So, applying that same logic to this podcast, what should that be? Sips?
Lewis, Pyrian, Flax, and Sips. Do an introduction, talk about the name of a podcast, talk about some game stuff, do some questions, and then they're done. The podcast.
Episode 1.
The podcast. Yeah. What do you think about that? It's very specific.
Like it.
Does what it says on the tin. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of wording on the tin. It's got to be said.
If you click that link, you know what you're getting, and we're delivering exactly what we said. We're the Ron Seal of podcasts. That's it.
Exactly. Exactly. Like you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Maybe we have to go with something like that.
The problem with that is that a lot of the times it will just get cut off on people's feed. So all they'll see is Lewis, Pyrian Flax, and Sips Doer. That would be it. You know, that would be literally all they would see. So we would have to call it that. And for short, like, you know, people nicknames, okay?
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, if someone you know is called Christopher, no one calls him Christopher except for his gran and possibly his mother. Right?
Or if
you're
a member
Chris.
Of the mafia, sometimes they will call you fully Christopher.
True. Hey, Christopher, come here. I need you to go down to New Jersey and do something for me.
For some reason, the mafia, they'll only shorten Anthony to Tony, but everything else they will say in full for some reason.
Or they'll extend it, like Paul becomes Paulie. Hey, Paul.
That's it. They'll make it even longer. Whereas most people want to shorten a name, so, you know, just to sort of save time and effort and stuff like that. The mafia have no problem making it even longer. Like, you know, they have to give them nicknames within their actual names. Like you could have like Jimmy Filoni and he says everything twice. So they'll call him like Jimmy two times Filoni sort of thing. And then they will fully call him that every time as well. Yeah. It's crazy.
Go get Jimmy two times Filoni. We need him for this job.
That's right. I don't get it. It's crazy. I tell you my theory
about that, right? There are basically in the mafia world, there are like three names, right? They're either called Paul or they're called Anthony. Or they're called, well, that's it. Or Christopher, right? Paul, Christopher, Anthony, Christopher, that's it.
And it's all from The Sopranos, which is obviously...
So you've got to come up with a nickname, or it's like, go get Paul. Which Paul? You know, Paul, he's got a big head. You mean Big Head Paulie? Yeah, go get Big Head Paulie. Simple, right? Because you've got to differentiate him from Skinny Paulie. Go get Skinny Paulie. Go get Eight Fingers Christopher. You know, Chrissy Eight Fingers. You've got to differentiate between the multitude of Christophers, Pauls, and Anthonys, for goodness sake.
That's true, actually. It's because they pick these like very sort of... Is it Christian or Catholic
they're all
names?
They're all like Catholic,
they're all saint names, right? So like St. Christopher and St. Anthony and St. Paulie.
And all the girls are called Marie.
So nicknames are this thing, right, where you never get to choose your own either, okay, except when you're playing Dungeons & Dragons, which I think is one of the reasons people like to play online games and stuff like this. It's because they get to pick their own nickname. But because back at school, you never got to pick, right?
Yeah.
You could come into school and say, right, you can call me, you know... You can call me...
call me Slayer. And then everybody calls you Potato Face. Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're just going to keep calling you Potato.
Yeah, that's the thing with nicknames. You can't turn up and dictate what your nickname is going to be. It's a natural thing, right? People just start calling you something, you know, like they might call you Butt Breath or like, you know, even worse, Jizz Breath or something like that.
It's usually to do with your surname, right?
Yeah.
So you would be Chris the Lover Lovitz.
Yeah.
And that's a good one, right? That's the one you'd want, but actually they'd give you something instead like loaf.
No.
Chris the loaf.
I had my way, I would want to be known as Stone Cold Killer, but I don't know. Maybe that's
that's with an A on the end, right? That's
good.
Stone
course.
Cold Killer.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, you can't pick your own nickname so that people
and the S in stone would be a dollar sign.
Yeah.
Oh, now that's building towards
something. Now you're talking. Maybe we can apply some of these to the name of our podcast.
Well, we could replace the S, Stone Cold Podcast, and the S in podcast is a dollar sign.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Man, and we could change the C to be like a cents sign as well, you know, like dollars and cents. Yeah, be sweet.
And the S in stone can also be a dollar sign.
Whoa, I don't know.
And the E in stone can be a euro symbol.
Holy shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my
there any L's in there? I mean, we could have a pound sign somewhere too. Should
the L in cold could be a pound sign.
Oh, of course. Yeah, there is an L in cold.
Let me write this out on a piece of scrap paper and see how this looks. I'll report back to you guys. So, all right. So
let us know.
Dollar sign T-O.
The other names I was trying to chuck around for our game were to do with potato bracket. So I was thinking of like, first of all, I said... I was like MMR colon potato. Okay, so almost like, you know, you haven't even got a number for an MMR. It's just the word potato because you're so bad at Dota, right? But then I thought potato sounds a lot like Dota too, right? So we could just call it Dotato.
Dotato.
Right?
I don't know. That's a bit of a mouthful though.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm just going to say that I don't like it.
What's wrong with Dotato? It sounds like Dota 2.
Because, right.
It's not so much what's wrong with Dotato. There's just nothing right with Dotato.
How about Potato? Potato 2.
How about that? Why does it have to be potato themed, though? Like, why can't.
It has to be catchy. I like the name. I like the word potato. That's all. I think it's funny. I think the word potato is just inherently amusing. It makes me giggle. There's certain words. Like flange and
I like
wobbling,
how you just came up with that straight like away. That. Think of funny words.
Flange.
Yeah. That's a good one.
There's just certain words that just make you smile.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they conjure up nice things. Like bumblebee.
Poontang.
And
Poontang is my word. Yeah. So I've written out Stone Cold Podcast in the way we described.
Yeah.
And you know, in FPS games, the way there's always a guy with X's at the start and finish of his name and lots of upper lowercase and characters that you need to hold down Alt and use the keypad to get. It looks a bit wanky like that. But I quite like the name Stone Cold Podcast is good.
Stone Cold Podcast. I can live with that. Is it taken already though? That's the other thing. There's a million podcasts, right?
We don't want to. Does Stone Cold Steve Austin have a podcast? And he's going to be like, I've heard about these assholes in England. Oh,
he's going to come down.
I do not want to cross that, man.
Nah. All right.
How about we go with the same idea as PFLAX is saying? So I saw some guy with some Arabic symbology, right, in his CSGO username. Okay. And it was like a hyphen equals like a little curly bit. And it basically looked like a sniper rifle. Okay. So it's like a sniper rifle in ASCII.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about we call it, it doesn't have a name. It's just called that.
What like, about that like, symbol. Like a word with an exclamation mark it. And then colon? The podcast. So like, you have a word like potato exclamation mark the podcast.
The podcast.
Yeah.
I see it's like a Broadway play.
Yeah. That's right.
Rent. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Guess what? Steve Stone Cold Steve Austin already has a podcast named Stone Cold Podcast. And we're like 2 years late on this, lads. All right. We're way out of time. He hosts the Stone Cold Podcast live! Exclamation mark. A no holds barred. That's all with hyphens in your face. Also hyphenated. Man. Monthly interview series on the award-winning hyphenated WWE Network.
It's kind of embarrassing. It's like your dad having a podcast. The same as you wanted to name it.
We
like,
are pretty years, well. You're not a dad, ago. But me and PFLAX are dads.
It's
so
true, yeah.
You know, we are here making a podcast as dads. So maybe it's the true. Prophecy has come to fruition. Now we're
two dads, one guy,
one non-dad.
My two dads, like that my show.
My two dads! Exclamation mark! The podcast.
I like it. That's got legs.
Yeah, I like
two dads.
What about this? Two dads! The podcast. Exclamation mark! And a non-dad. Period. The podcast. No.
And a non-dad sad face. Come yeah, on, yeah. The podcast.
And then, I think my two dads works.
But
that's
then
my,
one day, Lewis, you what? Might become a dad, and then we can just change it to three dads, exclamation mark, the podcast.
Hooray.
Yeah, we'll have to rebrand.
We future-proof the hell out of this thing. We are ready for the future, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got at least 9 months, you know, that this is it's going to be called Two Dads for. Because I, as
at
much
least
as I
nine
know,
months. What have you
I
been up got, to? No internet at your new flat. Does that mean that you've just been like out on the prowl, you know?
Picking on the prowl. Yeah.
You know, planting
cooling
some
up
seeds.
All the, cooling up the planting some. Oh my God. Some future little Brindley prospects out there.
I'm making an army.
Oh my God.
With all sorts of different ladies. That's right.
I do think if you refer to unborn children as the Bridley prospects, that's I like that. The Brindley prospect.
Maybe we can call the podcast that. The Brindley prospect. Exclamation mark. That'd be great.
The podcast.
Yeah. That's good. The Brindley prospect. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, actually.
It's got a lot of potential.
It's got
so
a lot of
one
potential.
Of the things we did want to talk about this podcast was games at some point. Now, I thought we should move on to...
Wait, we haven't figured out the title yet. We were so close, too. We can't move on yet.
Two Dads, My Two Dads, the podcast. I like it.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Look it up.
We're going to go with that.
See if it's already
look
taken.
Look up My Two Dads.
All right.
And
I
see
mean,
if that's
you,
already
you know,
taken.
I mean, Sips, I assume... That,
it doesn't sound super cool. I think we need to appeal to a cool young demographic. I'm not
right,
sure they're going to listen to a
podcast.
Hold on,
let me pitch it to you, right? I don't know if Sips remembers this show. I don't know if you remember this show, Lewis. There was a show called My Two Dads, right? The sitcom. Like, that's what it's referencing, is the sitcom
It does
My
make
two
you two sound like you're gay lovers as well. So it might set the wrong message
excuse
to, like,
me,
new
the
listeners.
Two dads on My Two Dads were not gay lovers. They were,
I think, modernly
victims
they would
of
be
circumstance,
right?
Lewis.
They were.
That's what they were.
It was the nerdy office guy, played by. Let me think. Was it Paul? What was his name? Paul Ryan. Paul Rubin. God, what was his bloody name?
The guy from Mad
Paul
About
Reiser,
You.
Paul Reiser. Yeah. And then Greg Evigan, I think, was the other guy. And basically, and Stacey Keenan, who basically disappeared. I don't think anybody's heard of Stacey Keenan anymore. But basically, I can't remember the exact setup. But the mother of the kid died, so the two men who wanted to go out with her before she died decided to look after the kid. So yeah. they kind of, it was two dads, but they were both playboys. You know, they were trying to be playboy lovers and have lots of girlfriends whilst also raising this girl, right? It was a great setup for a terrible show, but that was the reference, was My Two Dads was a reference to that.
Ah. Well, okay.
So
that's fine.
My concern is there might be a fan podcast about the show My Two Dads, which only ran for like three seasons and wasn't really memorable.
But it made impact on you. So
it did,
how
yeah.
do we know that that hasn't sort of made impact on other people out there in
You were thinking, when I get to be a dad, I'm going to be dating
I'm going to be
up.
Exactly like Paul Reiser from Mad About You, which he's better known for in his role Mad About You.
And
I'm going to be that playboy dad.
Burke okay. in the Aliens so, movie.
Stone Cold Killer is obviously Sips, right? So what was your sort of desired dream nickname, P-Flax, as a kid? You know, did you want to have like, because I always wanted to be called Psycho, right?
Wow.
That was my thing.
That's crazy.
I wanted people to be scared of me.
Yeah.
No, I know. Right. I never went for Psycho.
They'll see you coming down like that dark alley. They're like, "Oh shit, look who it is! Just this fucking wiry little nerd walking down the alley, casting a shadow against the walls." Oh no! Run, everybody! It's Psycho! And then you're like, "Hey guys, how you doing?" With the owl voice.
Wow!
Oh shit, man, that's terrifying.
When I started a job one time and. Everybody had like a nickname at the job.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, "What's your nickname?" I was like, "How do you mean?" I said, "You know, my name's Edward. People call me Ted." They were like, "No, you've got to have like a better nickname. We're not going to call you Ted. What's your nickname going to be?" So I was like, "Well, how about T-Force?"
T-Force.
So,
nice. I like
Stone
that.
Cold Killer, so, T-Force.
I'm not kidding. The guys that I know from that job still call me T-Force to this day. Like, they're completely,
T-Force.
Yeah, completely unironically. Because my name's Ted Forsyth, so it's like T-Forsyth. It's like the start of T-Forsyth.
It sounds
T-Force.
Like a toothpaste.
Yeah,
it's actually an action movie made in the 90s, my friend. And I have it on DVD. It's unbelievable.
It's either a toothpaste or an advertising gimmick of like three cartoon characters who sell, you know, PG tips or something. That's what it would be. And
hey, kids, it's that time of day again. That's right, it's bedtime. Are you going to be a man or a pussy? Brush your teeth with T-Force.
And there's a toothpaste tube with a little cape at the top of the stairs. Get on up here, kids. You got superpowers on your teeth. Whoa.
Oh,
forget
man.
About it, Pauly. Hey, go get Pauly T-Force Zapparelli, would you?
T-Force. Man, yeah, T-Force for sure. Like, that's the best nickname. Holy shit. There's a fine line with nicknames, though, because sometimes they feel really forced, you know? Like, have you ever met a group of people who really force the nicknames big time and play up to them all the time, but it feels forced and it's not very funny or cute or anything? Like, I've had that in the past at jobs.
What like?
I can't think of anything specific, but I just remember at times in various jobs working with people who were really into the job, didn't really have much of a social life outside of the job, so they sort of like used the job as their social life too. And they would really just like over egg it on like the familiarity, the nicknames and stuff like that. And I'd always leave at the end of the day thinking like, fuck those nerds. Like, I don't want to fucking over egg a nickname and be all familiar with those guys at all. And it just like left a sour taste in my mouth.
Huh.
I think you're, you shouldn't have been sucking their dicks then.
Maybe, I know. I can't help myself sometimes, though. You know, I just.
No, so I think that's a common problem with work, right? Like, I always think family are your friends by default, i.e., your family, regardless of what you do and what happens in your life, you can always come back to your family, okay? Because they're always like, and you always have to sort of stay on good terms with them. Like, yeah, we better just go to that thing and stay on good terms with your uncle. Because you never know, you know, family, it's always useful to have a spare uncle, you know, just in case, you know, I don't know what happens. Like zombie apocalypse, maybe, you know, go to your uncle's ranch. It's always a safe thing. Family, you can always trust family, okay? But at work, when you go to these jobs, and sometimes you're stuck there for like 7 or 8 hours a day with these people you're just thrown together with.
Yeah.
Man, like they're kind of, sometimes those people you really just don't want to be friends with, but they don't mind being friends with you, or they quite want to be friends with you.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's so awkward sometimes.
It can be, yeah. I mean, but equally, sometimes you start a job somewhere and you hook up with a couple of people or there's, you know, one or two people that you work with who are just really on your fucking level. Like, they're just...
Yeah, yeah.
Somehow, it's just like the stars and the moon have aligned or something, and all these people are like people that you should have just been friends with your whole life because, God, like...
It sucks when that happens.
But you know what, Sips? It's the other way around for them. They... I think, oh, God, this guy really wants to be friends with me.
Yeah, yeah. You just, like, you try super hard. You're like, guys, oh, fuck, yeah, another day at work. Oh, shit, yeah, Larry, two times Maloney, and yeah, fuck, we're, like, best friends. I never want to go home again. Oh, I love you guys. And those guys are just like, oh, fuck, this guy's crazy. I have to go home.
On Sicily, just, like, taking out targets. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, messing with the rifle, Siciliana family.
That's a really, that's a really negative thought, the idea that the people that you think that you want to be friends with don't like you. You know what I was watching? I was watching a TED talk the other day by this woman called Brené Brown, right? T-Force talk the other day. And she was talking about how people set themselves up.
That.
They should. The T-Force talks. You know, catch right on. She was talking about how people set themselves up to be prepared for disappointment by immediately thinking, ah, it'll probably never happen, or to think of the worst thing that could happen. So people are being nice to you, and your brain sets you up to protect you from future heartbreak by saying, ah, they probably don't even like me very much. Yeah. That's a very negative thing to do. And what you have to do is be happy being vulnerable and just accept that. Even, like, you're not really going to prepare for it. Like, just because you've told yourself, ah, it'll probably be no good. When it actually turns out to be no good, it's not like you go, I knew it, and you're happy about that. You're still miserable. So enjoy it while you can. And don't focus on the negative and think this will go bad.
Listen up. Like,
I'm right, Lewis.
TED Talks are fucking... I used to think they were good, okay? And then I watched a couple that just was shit. There was, like, this guy who was like, what would it be like if you reply to all of your spam emails? I did it for a year. I spent a year of my life replying to spam emails, and this is my journey. I'm really quirky and different. Just come with me on my stupid fucking journey. And some other next guy comes to stage, and he's like, do you know what it would be like if you woke up every day at like 4:30 in the morning? That's what I did for a year. I got up at 4:30 in the morning. This is my journey. This is how it changed my life.
Come with me
basically,
on my stupid fucking journey.
I was really fucking tired all the time, and I didn't really know what to do with myself when I woke up at 4:30 because it was dark and there was nothing to do. It's like, but I got so much done. I got so much done in the mornings because the mornings were so much longer. When I woke up at 4:30, the mornings were so much longer. You wouldn't believe. They were about 2.5 hours longer. It was like,
that's
what
TEDx.
Are you fucking talking about?
You're talking about TEDx. That's not listen. TED. There's TEDx. That's different. Jesus. They let anybody give a TEDx talk. I could give a fucking TEDx talk, I bet. If I wrote to the TEDx people and said I want to do a TEDx talk, they'd say, okay, we'll slot you in. Like, anybody can do it. You don't have to be clever. The proper TED talks, those people like economists and scientists and researchers and shit. TEDx. Jeez, some guy walks in off the street. That's it. They'll give him a TEDx talk. It's completely different.
Yeah, I want to give a TEDx talk about Pauly No-Nos. What a piece of shit he is, all right? All right, here's my fucking pitch.
Nose.
All right, listen up. Here's a picture of Pauly No-Nos. Let me tell you, this guy's got no nose. That's why we call him Pauly No-Nos. He's a bum. He owes me $50. He keeps avoiding me. Hey, what are you going to do? Forget about it. Applause.
I can't even punch him in the nose. He doesn't have a nose.
Surely Pauly No-Nos would have a fucking enormous nose. Yeah. Wouldn't that be the point?
No, that's, they're not ironic people. I don't think they're deeply ironic nicknames.
No,
though.
They don't
we
appreciate
call him
irony
Billy the
at
Hat
all.
Because he doesn't wear a hat. It's like, what?
It don't make no sense. What are you calling Pauly No-Nos? He's got a huge nose. Someone's going to get shot over the confusion there because they're going to call him an idiot for not getting the irony of the nickname, and then guns are going to get drawn, and it's a whole...
That's it.
There's going to be a beef and a sit-down, and you're going to need to, you know, someone's going to get whacked, Lewis.
Yeah, and then they'll be laughing because that's the shit that they find funny. Killing a guy is hilarious.
He killed
irony,
him because he
not
thought he
so
had no nose. Hey.
Well, it's like gallows humor, isn't it? It's like the old Tommy spirit of getting through it by just making a joke of it, you know.
All right, well, listen here, rewinding a little bit back to the TEDx talk about the 4 a.m. wake-ups, a true story here. My best childhood friend, his dad, used to go to bed at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, early evening. He'd go to bed at 5 o'clock so that he could wake up at like 3-4 in the morning. And the reason he did this we figured out later on is that he didn't really like having kids running around all over the place when he was trying to play military strategy games on the computer. So what he would do is he would just skip it. He'd just go to bed at like 5. Everybody's still up and whatever. And then the kids would go to bed and they'd be sleeping. And while they're like sound asleep, nobody's even considering even remotely waking up. This dude would get up at like 3-4 in the morning, whole house creep to himself. Yeah. Just sit there fucking smoking a carton of cigarettes, play some Civilization before he went to work and stuff.
That sounds like the fucking
dude
dream.
Had it fucking sewn
I reckon
up.
He was so happy.
Yeah.
He probably loved that life.
God, I think so, yeah. It's genius.
That's terrible.
It's pretty bad.
It's terrible.
It's enterprising, but yeah, I mean, like, it's basically just taking a shit on your family from a great height as well.
But do you know what? I think a lot of people don't actually really want kids when they have them. I mean, that's not unusual to say, but I think we all kind of assume that everybody's going to love their kids and be happy. But for instance, we had some work done in the kitchen. We had a bunch of work done downstairs, like, last year, just in the middle of last year. And the builder said to me, do you know, Ted, what you might want to think about is having a partition wall put in that retracts. It's like a sliding partition wall in the middle of this room. And I said, why would I want that? He said, well, once the kids get older, you won't want to be sitting in the living room with them, will you? I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, a lot of people have this nowadays. What you do is you separate the living room up. You have a telly in one bit, telly in the other bit. You and the missus sit in one bit, kids sit in the other. I was like, so what are you saying, that when the kids get a little older, I'm going to literally separate them from my life by having a sliding wall after dinner? Right, kids, you get on your side of the wall and just close it up and they stay in their side and we stay on our side. What's the point in having a family? Why have
just
a family at all?
Just erect a tent in the back garden, move them out.
So I just, it was just in the awful. Garden. I mean, what you might want to do, Ted, is build an extension, yeah? And the kids live in that, and you just poke food through a chute.
Yeah, wait. What you might want to do, Ted, is, we can build a dungeon for you if you want to lock these little shits up.
It's just unbelievable.
Full time. Yeah, that's crazy. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, kind of tempted.
It would be
if you can pass me that guy's
sweet
contact details.
I don't know if you're selling them. There's a good market for buying kids. I know a guy who'll pick them up for you on the cheap, ship them off in a shipping container in China. He won't ever see him again. Fucking who knows?
What a lot of people are doing nowadays, Ted, is shipping them off to slavery in China, yeah?
Oh, man. Yeah, no, some people seem to, like, I don't know. Like, you can tell that they've got kids themselves and they hate all children, and they sort of try to impose their beliefs of
hatred,
of child hatred, onto you as well. And you're like,
yeah,
well,
that's true.
I don't fully hate my kids yet. You know, like, they're still young and stuff. Like, we haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm not considering a partition or anything like that. You know, like, everything's cool now.
Honestly, whenever people say, you know, on Reddit, there's like Reddit threads that say, oh, you know, people who've grown up and married and didn't have kids, how do you feel about it?
Oh, man.
They're always so fake happy. They're like, we totally didn't need kids. It was, our lives are so great now. We get to go on holiday and, oh, it's
just
wonderful.
Sitting in my living room, admiring the Christmas tree, hubby's still asleep, coffee's brewing, the dog is licking my hand. Man, I'm so glad I didn't have kids. How do you know,
but
though?
But you know what? I think that a lot of the time, I think it's in our genes probably to have kids. I think you two are very pleased about it. And I think one of the things you said to me, P-Flex, was that if you could afford more, you would have more.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you see that. Like, it's people who seem to have more money seem to have more kids.
Like, I'm not kidding. If like, we're, like me and Mrs. F, when I've got two girls, and like maybe a couple of years later afterwards, Mrs. F said, do you want to have any more babies? Because I would be down for more babies if you wanted any. And I was like, well, I've got to look after them. And I kind of, having done, what, nearly 7 years, then they'll both be at school. Come September, they're both at school. So then between 9 and like 3, I have some time to work and stuff like that. And I'm kind of enjoying what I'm doing. And now, like, a lot more than I was like 6 years ago, because it's getting more fun and I'm doing more stuff. So if we had another kid, I feel like that's setting me back another 4.5 years, you know? That kid isn't going to start school for another 4.5 years. That's another 4.5 years of doing the nappies, doing the up at the 3 in the morning, Mrs. F., you know, she's destroyed, like, the breastfeeding thing just destroyed her. She's just, like, up all night. She just looked like a haunted ghost. She looked like a ghost that was itself haunted. That's how pasty she looked. She just, like, wiped out. I thought, do I really want to go through this again? We've got to have the baby gate. We've got to put all that up. Got to buy a pushchair because we got rid of it. The whole schmear. And I was like, Jesus, do I really want to do that again? I was like, no.
But Oy vey.
But if I was, if I was rich, I would do it. Like if because I just, you know, you could just have everything you wanted, massive house, nannies and shit. It would be great.
Nannies and stuff would be useful, right? Like I don't know. They sort of like, I don't know. Like if you guys. Well, you probably don't. I mean, Lewis, I don't think you read like women's magazines or whatever, but like
he does, but not the kind we're talking about.
No, but there's like a
women in them.
They got some, yeah. Some of them aren't really wearing clothes either, which is No, but like a very common thing is
pictures of animals.
A very common thing in like some of these magazines is that they'll take somebody like you know, Prince William, and his wife. And they'll say like, oh, you know, she's had two kids and she's a mom, she's super busy and stuff. And it's like, yeah, she probably is, but like they have all the fucking resources and help in the world as well.
It's true,
like,
yeah.
This is somebody who gives birth and then 2 hours later is in front of cameras, like in full makeup and everything, smiling and stuff. And you know, they have nannies, they have help, they have money, they have resources, they have all this shit. They still have like all these responsibilities and like a job to do and everything too. And your average mom does not live like that, right? Like,
true that.
Like PFLAX was saying, your average mom is like up in the middle of the night, just looks like a ghost, is tired. Like it's a full-time job. It's like the hardest fucking job in the whole world, like dealing with kids all the time. It's crazy.
Right. But there's two factors, right, associated with that, okay? So, well, first of all, I think when people have kids, they don't know what to expect because the kid changes so much over the different ages. You know, it's completely different to being a baby and a toddler and a little kid and a teenager and going off to school or whatever, you know. Every aspect of that, you know, you have to have the whole spectrum. You have to have this breadth of knowledge and expectation. And every year, I guess, is different. You know, there's different noise, there's different times to wake up in the night, there's different problems to encounter. You know, one, you know, first of all, you're changing nappies and cleaning up poop from everywhere and vomit. The next year, you know, you're like trying to do their kids' maths homework and you don't know what the fuck because you can't remember it because, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And it's a breadth of craziness. And so people don't know what to expect. So, but at the same time, like, if you've got kids and they're different ages, it's a completely different kettle of fish as well. You don't know, there's a lot of variety there, right?
Yeah,
I've run out of my train of thought.
No, but the fact is, if you have help, if you have resources, if you have a system whereby you're not the sole sort of like doing everything and it sort of rolling on and impacting other things like working and stuff like that, you know, it is a tough decision because it's super full on. You know,
well,
like,
that's the other
you
thing.
You can't just enter into it lightly. Be like, oh, you want to have another kid? Yeah, sure. Because there's so much fucking shit surrounding
this is the other thing, isn't
it? You know, it's crazy.
You have to decide how much work you are like. Okay, first of all, it's about your own satisfaction as well. Because if you know, you can say, and you and your wife could say, hey, look, shit, we did all this work. We stayed up all night. We didn't have any help. We didn't do it the easy way. You know, it's very satisfying for you. It's very personally fulfilling for you saying, look, we completed this game legit, okay? We didn't cheat, right? We didn't spawn in a nanny and have him look after the babby for 2 years and then take over.
We played because we Iron Manned that shit.
We Iron Manned child
the baby.
Yeah.
Exactly. You didn't get any support. And I think a lot of people do, and I think babies are different. Like I know, for example, some of the people in the office have had a much different experience to others. You know, Terps' baby's been very different to Ben's baby, and I'm sure every baby is different, and you'll probably know this as well from having multiple babies, that they both need different things, and some of them are a real handful and some of them are not. And that is difficult. I think at the end of the day, you have to kind of, I don't know, like, back in the day, right, these rich people would just send their kids away until they were like, send the children away to be looked after and bring them back once they can talk. And I will be their father then. And I will say, hello, son, I am your father. And this, daddy, it's like, yes, welcome. It's like almost like you have children, but you only like see them 4 years later.
Lord Tarly or something here. Like, what the hell's going on?
they did that. They'd send their kids away to be educated. So they'd like, they'd say, I think you're going to be a lawyer. I want you to be a lawyer. So you're going to go work for so-and-so for like 4 years. I'll see you later. You're out of the house. I mean,
well, that's another thing,
that's the ultimate partition wall right there. You're literally removing them.
And money does that, right? Like boarding school is definitely a thing. You know, you just send your fucking kids off and you don't see them for a couple of years pretty much while they're at boarding school.
I just don't get it.
Even if I had the money, I wouldn't do that. I'd just be never. Like, I don't know. Like, you want them to have opportunities and you want them to like excel and get ahead in life and stuff like that. But at the same time, you want to be there for it too. Like, I think if I sent my kids to a boarding school, I would relocate to live close to that school so that they could sort of come home in the evenings.
Dig a tunnel under the school and then they sneak down.
Like
and
an escape hatch. Like,
they get to stay. You go, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
You having fun, Jimmy? You fucking creeper. What the hell are you doing?
Well, I just want to make sure that Jimmy's having fun.
You're tunneling into your kid's school to like spy on them.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Poor kid.
That's so funny. Holy shit. But no, at a certain age, they don't want to see you, right? And it'll get to the point where, you know, they'll be at school all day. They'll come in the evening. They'll go up to their room. They'll play video games, chat with their friends. They'll go out with their friends, blah, blah, blah. They'll go to sleep. And, you'll see him, maybe you'll pass in the morning for breakfast.
I'm dreading it. I'm not lying. I'm dreading it.
But, you know, at that point, when you're having that little interaction anyway, how different is it to sending Harry Potter off to Hogwarts, you know, and just having him stay there?
But people send their kids away to boarding school when they're, like, super young.
Yeah.
Like when I was 11 or 12, I'd still, like, even maybe 13, 14, I'd still sit and watch telly with my mum. Like, we watched the whole of Twin Peaks, right? That was our thing. We'd watch, there was like a show before Twin Peaks, and then we watched Twin Peaks and just hanging out with her, and we'd talk and stuff like that. And sometimes we just sit up talking. So I always had a really good relationship with my mum. We talked a lot. Like, we still talk on the phone a lot.
Yeah.
And I've always felt like that is not something that I never just were like, got home from school, slammed the door, and I'm in my room, bang! Like, that wasn't a thing that I did. And I really hope my kids don't do that.
No, but it's a generational thing, though, right? Like, well, not so much. It's not strictly a generational thing. Like, it's not like a straight cut thing. Like, if you had a really good relationship with your mom, that's pretty cool. But nowadays, like, most parents are, like, massive man children, right? Like, we still all play video games. We still all do shit that our kids are going to eventually start doing
yeah,
as well.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
So it's likely that we'll have better relationships with our kids because there's more common ground there. But, like, when I was growing up, and, like, certainly when my parents were growing up, there was definitely like a partition wall between like adults and children, right? Like it was go outside, go play outside, go do this, go do that or whatever. You know, like I've just come home from a factory job for like 10 hours. I just want to like smoke a cigar and read the paper or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know if that stuff like strictly happens so much nowadays. Like I think there's a lot more common ground, a lot more common interests. There's like a lot of media that's like shared between adults and children and stuff. And I don't know if all of that was in place when we were younger, you know?
Yeah. I think they're always, you know, parents are always younger than they think they are. They don't know really, none of them really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, to go back to sort of boarding school and stuff, I think that as parents, you want the best for your kids. And that's one of the sort of overriding things that you always feel a lot of pressure on. And that's kind of why I feel sympathy for these people who are anti-vaxxers and stuff like that, because at the end of the day, they're doing it, unfortunately, because they believe that it's best for their kids, you know, and that's part of what drives them, right? They are good-natured people in a sense that they want the best for the kids, even though they're doing it selfishly.
Yeah, they're just...
They'd rather their kid was, you know, safe, essentially, rather than putting other people at risk, because that's really where it comes from, anti-vaxxers. It's the people who have kids who can't have the vaccines who suffer from the people who decide not to have the vaccines, right? Anyway, 8% of our parliament in the government is made up of people from private schools. So private schools still make up like this 10% of the, or 5% of the kids that get educated, but they make 80% of our elite.
Yeah.
So if you want the best for your kids, send them off to fucking private school. Send them to boarding school. It's just apparently better.
Yeah.
So getting them out of your house, Sips, will make them more successful people.
Yeah, but they're successful, Lewis, but they're fucking assholes. Like, I don't want my kids to be successful assholes. I'm going to be like, well, you're successful, but you're a complete cunt. What's the point in that?
Well, it depends how you measure success, isn't it?
Well, apparently, according to you, it's being a massive cunt. That's what it is.
Yeah. What, are you saying that everyone in our elite is a cunt?
I'm saying, name a politician, right, that went to private school and is coming from a wealthy background that you think, really good guy, great statesman, has a lot of great ideas, really brilliant. How many of them are just politicians who just want to have a political career so they can walk into a high-end CEO job, make a lot of knobby mates along the way, and make a shitload of money and fuck everybody?
Just send your kids to fucking, you know, shitty St. Fuck's local shithole then, fine, and they can, you know, hang out with, like, fucking Louis the Hat Malone.
Hey,
and fucking,
he's a good guy.
Hey, Louis, hey,
I mean, we're looking for schools to send, like, my son to pretty soon, and I really like the sound of this shitty McFucks shithole. Do you have any contact details or anything? Like, you know,
I'm only playing devil's advocate, P-Flex. My role often is to try and just throw a counter
argument. Is the headmaster, does he happen to be Clown Hitler? Because that would be perfect, actually.
Clown Hitler. Yeah. It's not the Juggalo school.
Oh, my Jesus. God. Are Juggalos still a thing? Is that still? I'm just going to Google Juggalos. I want to see what they're up to. I'm going to Google
Juggalos. Listen, right. Before
Juggalo
we get news. Too off topic, right. We have to think up a title for this podcast still. Right, I'm quite happy calling it T-Force, !, the podcast.
Okay. T-Force, !, the podcast.
But that doesn't make sense because I'm T-Force and it's not my podcast.
You're always going to be in it, though.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, how about we modify it, right? Sips, you want to be, like, straight up G, so maybe we can just call it G-Force.
Yeah,
no, but hang on, that's a graphic.
That's a movie.
Okay, back to T-Force.
Yeah.
How about we gamify it, okay, and we make it, like, Triforce, because then that's all three of us, right? Tri.
It's
triple-person podcast.
Yeah.
It's game-related. It could be called the Triforce Podcast. Right?
And
it
I'm,
sounds
of course,
gamey.
Trisexual as well, because...
We do play a lot of games.
I
we
do
are
like
between
to
us. We're trisexual
from time to time.
I like to fuck on a tricycle if I can. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, I think we are decided. We finally come around to a name, and
the
Triforce, I think with
the, exclamation
that decision,
mark, the podcast.
The podcast. We will end here.
Really?
Thank you, everyone, for watching. Yeah, this has been a good first podcast. We don't want to go too
wait. No, we're not ready. Another really big topic.
Save it for next week.
Game stuff and questions as well. I have some questions still.
Yeah,
we're not done
yet.
Okay, we'll do that all next time, guys.
We're
this
not
has
done.
Been,
I'm
we're not,
not
done.
Done
yet.
I need, let's put it to a vote.
How long is this podcast going to be? This has been 45 minutes.
Longer than 45 minutes.
I thought we said an hour.
Yeah.
All right, fine. We're going to carry on. Okay. This is like that thing, right, where you walk off on stage, okay, and then everyone cheers like, woo!
Yeah,
woo!
It's an encore. It's an encore.
And then we come back on. It's an encore. All right, fuck,
but
sure.
I've got two things, all right? Can I just say? First of all, top on the subreddit for Juggalos is a thread that says, new mod up in this bitch, which I quite like the fact even the mods talk about stuff in that way on the Juggalo subreddit. A new mod
up in this bitch.
Yeah.
I like
got
that.
A new mod. I'm a Reddit moderator, motherfucker. Yeah. Second of all, I was thinking today, right? This is a complete change of topic, nothing to do with games, so it's perfect segue. The question is this. Imagine if there was no such thing as heterosexuality, homosexuality, or anything in between. We just had sex whenever we wanted, with whoever we wanted, and there was no kind of decision-making or judgment about it. It was literally, do you fancy having sex? Just like saying, shall we get a pizza? Imagine if you got together with your mates for a game of five-a-side. You know, like all married guys, you know. But not that that means anything, because when we all just have sex whenever we want, there's no need to worry about like partners or monogamy or anything like that. We just do whatever we want. Hey, let's go play five-a-side. Yeah, okay. That would last about 5 minutes before someone says, phew, I need a shower. Shall we just have a massive orgy in the shower? And everyone just goes, yeah, fuck it. Like, that's it.
Hey, what are you talking about?
I'm saying that if there were no boundaries and no barriers to, like, when I meet up with my mates and play football or we go to the pub or whatever, we're not there to have sex.
Are you attracted
we're not there to have sex
to them,
with each
though.
Other. No, not at all. But my point
is it in the back of your mind that actually, you know, I might want to have sex with Frank and
Steve?
Yeah,
you might turn up and just say, like, wouldn't
hey
it
guys.
Be, like, hilarious if just Frank just blew me?
I've had an idea,
like,
Frank.
After a tackle?
You know the like, way you have cool. that nickname, Frankie, the human sucking machine, Pirelli?
Like, the human Hoover.
Yeah, there we go, Hoover. The human Hoover.
Cleaner.
Frank the vacuum. Yeah, yeah. I was trying to think of a machine
cleaner.
That sucked, and I couldn't think of anything. But then you
Man,
were like,
yeah.
Hoover.
Sucking machine.
Frank is terrible at football, but holy shit, can he suck a basketball through a garden hose.
So
that's why
like,
we keep him on the team.
That's the thing. I don't think we would have got anything done. I think the fact that you can have groups of people that have no sexual interest in each other whatsoever meet up and actually get shit done is the only reason shit gets done.
More so men.
This is such a bizarre shower thought.
More so men. You have to have, there has to be some things in place to prevent men from having sex all the time. Because that's all they would do. Like, if given the chance, men would just be having sex with whatever, whenever, all the damn time.
Yeah. All the time.
Exactly.
It's like an impulse, right? Women, not so much. Women can, like, sort of take it or leave it, right? They're just sort of like, yeah, whatever. You know, I just want to, like, go for a bike ride or whatever. You know, we like take it, a man for a bike ride.
It doesn't rule our life.
Yeah. He's looking around for somewhere along the bike ride where you could stop and have
some like
sex.
He's like fucking the seats, and then he's like stopping and just fucking the bike. And, you know, you have to have rules and regulation. That's why we have a society. We have a society with rules and bylaws and laws and stuff in place to prevent men from just having sex with whatever, whenever, all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because our brains pretty much just say, are constantly, oh man, sex now, right now. Come on, let's do it. It's like you're cycling along, you see a hot dog stand, you just fucking need to have sex with that guy behind the hot dog stand.
Stick your dick in the bun, put some ketchup on it. Tempted. You know,
Hey, look, there's an oil tanker there in that industrial state. Oh, you know, Jeremy's over there fucking
it. I'm
going to
impregnate the fuck out of that oil tanker.
What is going on? What's going on? It's a recycling plant? Yeah, I'll fuck that. Whatever.
Look at the fucking chimney on that power station, lad.
Holy shit.
That chimney can take a dick, I'm telling you. Go, Steve. He's climbing up. He's going to fuck the power station.
Power station Steve. Oh, man. How'd you get that nickname? I fucked the power station.
Oh, well, good one, mate. High five.
Power station Steve.
Power station.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
here goes power station. Oh, get the rounds in.
Go on, power.
Get drinks in, lad.
Where should we go on holiday this year, Steve? Somewhere, like, with a big power station. I've got a list of mapped out of all the power stations I haven't fucked in the British Isles, and I'm going to do them all. Like the John O'Groats to St. Ives walk, I'm going to do that. But fucking power stations along the way.
Man, that sounds like a really good group of nicknames for a bunch of guys at the office. Power station Steve, recycling plant Barry,
yeah.
Fucking hot dog stand Jim.
Oil tanker Oliver.
But you see what I'm saying? How little would have been done. And I wonder if when people talk about that tipping point when we stopped being animals and started settling down and figuring things out, if what happened was we evolved the idea that you don't just fuck everything all the time and that there need to be rules. And I wonder if that was it. Like some chimp's brain twisted so that he was like, actually, I'm not going to have sex with power station or whatever, you know, bananas, whatever they were, the monkey nicknames would be.
The prehistoric equivalent of a power station.
You know what? I'm not going to spend another day shoving bananas up my ass. I've done it for the last 4 years. Every day. I'm going to stop. And that is when mankind evolved.
I'm going to see if Mammoth Fucker Mike and Sabretooth Simon.
It's like a TED talk.
Monkeys evolved in the jungle. For millions of years, they were shoving bananas up their asses every day. But then one day,
slowly
some
over
monkey
time,
changed.
Five Banana Steve decided that no, there was no more room in his anus for a banana.
Here we see 1,000 fossilized skeletons of bananas, monkeys who have shoved bananas up their ass. As you can see, they have been preserved in their ritual. They've fallen into this swamp or mud pit or tar pit with a banana still firmly wedged in their asshole.
But not this monkey. This monkey is doing some mathematics on a piece of stone. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is that. That's the beginning right there.
Listen, guys, this is like the perfect segue into gaming news, all right? This is what I like to call, this segment of the show is what I like to fondly refer to as gaming news. So let's hear it. What have you guys been playing this week? Do you have any gaming news? Bearing in mind, we're like two dads and a soon-to-be dad, maybe, depending on whether he gets the internet at his flat or not, his new flat. We're kind of like behind the times on games, I would say. Like, we sort of stick to what we know. Don't tend to really play stuff as it comes out, right? Like, do we agree on that?
No, I don't agree on
that
at all.
We're not like at the cutting edge of gaming, I wouldn't say. Like, I don't play stuff the day it comes out anymore.
Do you not? I do.
I'm really jaded. Like, I play
those
games still.
Right?
Yeah. I get them as quick as I can. I'm like, it's out.
My feeling about gaming lately is that there's so many games, right, now that you see these little tiny communities fill up around small sort of games. And there's lots of people out there who play. There's so many games, right? I mean, even on the Battle.net launcher. Now we've got Hearthstone, Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, you know, World of Warcraft, StarCraft 2, Diablo. There's a bunch of people playing all of those. And that's just the Battle.net launcher. That's not the 10,000 games on Steam.
Right.
But even little games on Steam, there are communities around, you know. And there's still people playing, like, the Garry's Mod. There's people playing Skyrim and modding it and Civ and Just Cause and Grand Theft Auto and fucking those puzzle games and casual, not even to mention, like, iPhone games and, like, League of Legends and RuneScape. Fuck me. There's so many games, right? And very few people tend to branch out into another game hardcore, right? They tend to just play 4.5 hours of Wolfenstein. And that's it. You know, that, and they like to pick up a game and throw it away again. So very few people kind of... also, people tend to stick to what they know too, right? They tend to stick to a game that they know and love and come back to it year after year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that we come back to Anno again and again and things like this. And Open Transport Tycoon Deluxe, every year we come back to it. I think it's going to get to a point, okay, where we have got enough games to fill out a year and enough of a shitty memory, because we're all getting old, that we've forgotten about the last time we played it. And so it's like, it's almost like reading all the Agatha Christie novels and then forgetting them and then reading them again. It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge, okay? So what I'm saying is it's going to get to a point where we've got enough games that we love that we'll never have to play a new game again because it will just go from Diablo patch to WoW patch to Hearthstone patch to Overwatch patch to... patch on Factorio to the new Civ 5 game to the new GTA to, do you know what I mean? It will just constantly, will never be able to have breathing room between the best games that we all love and enjoy.
God.
That's what my dream situation is.
Oh.
So basically what I'm saying is they'll have enough really good content that you'll be able to be born, okay, as a babby, and you'll have like a cool film, like a new film, like a new film that you've never seen before, all the way through to the age at which, like, you're 5, and then a new film that's appropriate for your age all the way up to your 10, and then a new game all the way up till, like, through your whole life, and you'll never have to watch the same film twice, you never have to listen to the same song twice, you never have to play the same game twice. Everything will be, like, this is where we're going towards, okay? So many, with the internet and so much variety and so many things being made, you can watch something new and original, brand new, for an entire lifespan.
Hmm.
What a beautiful idea.
That's an interesting idea. I listened to a little bit of that and understood very little of it.
Sorry.
What I would like to say about games...
I honestly zoned out about 2 minutes in.
Fuck you guys.
I couldn't follow it. It was too
esoteric.
I just want
to know what you've been playing recently. Like you said, you played Wolfenstein. What did you think? Like, how many dicks out of 10 would you award that game?
I'd give it like a 9.
I loved it. I
really liked
Wolfenstein.
I never played it. Should I play it?
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. Yeah, it's really good.
It's great. Story is actually fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sweet. I'm going to get it then.
Yeah, honestly, I was so pleasantly surprised that I played it through as fast as I could. I was addicted to it. It's great. It's really, really... In fact, I'm going to fucking reinstall it and play it in a minute. That's how fucking good it was.
This is crazy. I'm going to actually buy it today and play it. That sounds good.
You know what it reminded me of? I'll tell you what Wolfenstein reminded me of. It reminded me of Half-Life 3, right?
Wolfenstein.
At some points in that game, I thought, do you know what? I don't need Half-Life 3. It's probably going to fucking suck. This is a better game.
I don't know.
It's got good design. It's good story. It's like future... dystopia, kind of. It's fun. It's got sort of, it feels very similar in like the mechanics. You know, you come out onto this thing and you can see this giant bridge in front of you, and you're like, okay, I need to go to here and here and here. Like, so when I played Half-Life 2, there was a like commentary, a developer's commentary thing where you could walk around the levels, and they would talk about level design and all this shit.
I liked.
I went
all
through that.
That.
Wolfenstein took all of that and did it well. I mean, I don't think it's the best game I've ever played, but it's enough. It scratched that itch of a first-person shooter with a great story. I was blasting the hell out of people. It felt really satisfying. I felt powerful. I enjoyed it. I'm glad to have finished it. I'll put it down and never play it again, but there is an expansion called The New Order, which I've bought on Steam, but I can't install it because I have no internet. And
some
so
games are good with that, though, right? You know, some games you finish it and you're like, cool, I'm done. You know, I enjoyed that. It was a really good experience. I'm done.
It's like putting down a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not every game has to have a ton of replayability, I don't think.
Yeah. Like, yep.
You know, you sit down, if a game, you know, 10, 15 hours and you're done, you know, that's pretty good. Like, I'd pay £30
for
that.
Old Blood is the DLC.
Yeah, because I've got the New Order. I'll have a look for this Old Blood.
The Old Blood.
Cool. Nice.
So, yeah.
That's a really good game.
Well, I'm glad you told me that. Now I'm looking forward to that. I remember playing, like, the original Wolfenstein on my friend's dad's computer, like, back in the day. And we just thought it was like the greatest thing ever. And pretty much.
It was at the time.
Wolfenstein just lied dormant.
But it actually was at the time amazing.
It was, like,
it was. It was so good. I remember.
It had voice acting and everything in it. Yeah. It was crazy.
Mein Lieben! That's what they shout.
Yeah. Eva! Auf Wiedersehen. When you finally kill Hitler, that's what he would say.
There's a lot of references to the original, so you'll see those. But there's also this bit in where you can actually play the original, or at least the little level of the original. So it's quite fun.
Nice.
You like go to sleep upstairs and you have like a nightmare, and it's like the original 2D game.
Cool.
And it's a level. It's pretty.
That's pretty sweet. Nice.
I found it's like the difficulty was fairly balanced. I play it like quite recklessly and quite chaotically. I like to, sometimes now. I play games a bit more role-play-y, right? I used to play games a bit hardcore, a bit try-hard, but now I tend to, like, play them on normal, normal or veteran difficulty, okay? Like, the default. But I RP it up in that I like to just... I think, my God, it's so cool having these double shotguns. I'm just going to go through this bit with double shotguns.
Yeah,
that's how I'm going to roll, right?
Yeah.
I don't care if I don't do it perfectly, but this is just how I feel I should be acting in this part of the game.
I think that's a natural way to play a game. I mean, that's pretty much how I play a game. You know, you just do what you feel like doing at the time. You know, you just roll with it. It doesn't have to be perfect.
For example, though, I think I was a guy who used to be a reloader, right? In XCOM, I used to be this guy who, if someone died, I reloaded, okay? Oh. I totally have changed that. I have now, if a guy dies, I'm like, okay, I'm going to work that into my headspace, in my story. I'm like, I'm sorry, Angela or whatever, you didn't make it, you know, don't worry, but you helped us get through this mission. We're going to do it without you. We're going to remember you. That headspace, I much prefer that. And it makes for a more fulfilling game experience.
It tells a better story, doesn't it?
I think that's why more games these days are putting Iron Man and hard mode and hardcore versions in, because they just add this level of intensity and excitement that isn't there if you save every fucking 5 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, I was playing XCOM 2 last night, and I'm on my 12th Iron Man campaign.
Wow.
And I still haven't finished the game. Because, like, I get to the point where, like, because I only play Iron Man. I get to the point where I get to a mission kind of far into the game where, like, I either squad wipe or I lose somebody, like, really crucial to, like, my team composition or whatever. And the rest of the game just, like, is fucking derailed. I have to restart. But it's cool. I like it. So, like, last night I had this, like, sniper who'd been on, like, 30 missions. He had, like, 75 kills or something. Like, it was crazy. Like, he was all, like, fucking maxed out, like, in terms of his abilities and stuff. And I had the dark event where you have the faceless, like, extra faceless in the missions. So he had, like, a spider suit so he could grapple around and stuff. And, you know, I always kept him back. But we were on a mission where we had to go and retrieve, like, an alien artifact from a box or whatever. There's two turns left to do it, so I had to bring him up, okay? So I brought him up, grappled him up to, like, a freeway overpass thing. He was behind a car. He was in a really good spot. You know, he was, like, getting some snipes and everything. And then a faceless popped up behind him because I'd forgotten to do the battle scan. So the faceless walks over to him, swipes, blows up the car. So he's down to, like, 3 health or whatever. And then, like, I think part of, like, the freeway collapsed or something, and he fell down and died.
Oh my God.
I was actually heartbroken. Like, I'm sitting in my kitchen on my laptop with my face in both of my hands going, Tariq, how the fuck did that just happen? You're dead now.
Oh, wow.
You're on the memorial wall, and I'm in a bit of a shitty spot because he was like my sort of long-range sniper.
He was your go-to guy. We got to get this kill.
And he was paired with a gunslinger because like the synergy there is like pretty good. You know, gunslinger.
James T-Force Tariq.
Oh, yeah. Man. He didn't make it. Lost T-Force. He didn't make it, but the show must go on, right? Like, you know, everybody's going to remember Tariq, but, you know, a new star will rise to take his place. And, you know, we're rolling with it. And it's fucking sweet. And
I think it's worth sharing this philosophy on gaming. Because, do you know what? I think that moment will be so much more memorable for you than anything else that happened. And it was so much more impactful. You were invested, and you can't just, oh, okay, F5, F9, fucking, oh, well, that didn't happen. And it's so forgettable when you have that power.
Listen, so much so that I told the tale to my wife this morning, who was just looking at me like I was fucking insane.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Can't believe it. Last night I lost Tariq. She's like, who? It's like, Tariq, you know, like my All-Star, my All-Star sniper, he died. She's like, how did that happen? So I told her the whole thing. She's like, geez, that game sounds really complicated. And it's like,
she's just nodding and like making a pancake in the kitchen.
She was just sort of drinking tea and half listening. Does your
wife, like, the relationship I have with my wife and games is that she knows I play them, but she has no interest in them whatsoever, like at all.
Same.
No, but she'll humor you, right?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
If you talk about it like an excited teenager telling their, you know, mum about it.
I tried telling her about it. We had that amazing comeback game against Mega Creeps. So I tried telling her about it. She's just like, I just don't care. I don't care about your silly little games. That's fair.
She didn't say that.
Yeah.
No,
she should have just nodded and said, oh.
My wife is not into gaming either, but she hears me talk about it so much that she has probably better general gaming knowledge than most. So like, she'll meet up with like her friends or whatever, and like her friend might be like, oh god, my husband's playing this fucking game all the time. It's like, oh, what game is he playing? She'll be like, oh, you know, like, I think it's like World of Warcraft or something. She's, oh yeah, World of Warcraft, yeah, my husband used to play that all the time, yeah, he loved it. Oh god, he spent like, whoa, like 200 years worth of time playing it, and oh, I couldn't even talk to him. I'd have a conversation with the back of his head for like 4 years because he was just like so engrossed in that fucking video game and stuff. Yeah. Like, she can actually have these sort of like mini game conversations with like other wives and mums.
But think about this, right?
Like a support group.
Like, our wives can trump other wives in how sad their husbands are. Like, they got the trump card. Like, if someone's complaining, oh, my husband's just got an Xbox, which I don't have an Xbox, so they'd be talking to my wife like the same conversation. Oh, yeah, well, husband just got an Xbox, so they go spending time together in the evening. And my wife's like, my husband has 5,000 hours in Dota 2.
Like, I know, like, but it's like, It's
and another 10,000 in Football Manager.
It's not so bad though, right? Because like, sometimes you're like, oh yeah, you know, my friend's husband didn't spend time with them on Sunday because he like went to watch the rugby at the pub or whatever. And I'm always like, oh god, yeah, he sounds like really shitty because, you know, on a Sunday I'm always here. Maybe not so much in the evening because I'm playing XCOM 2 and not talking to anybody. But like during the day, I'm here, right? So that's okay. She's like, I guess so.
Yeah, I'm in the house if something. If someone broke in, I'm available. You know, yeah.
It's a good hobby to have, though, right? It's like not too expensive. You know, you're in the house. You're not like always present, but you are sort of in the house and like available and stuff. You know, you're not away. You're not getting drunk.
It's
you're not spending a lot of money.
Try to defend yourself, you filthy game nerd addict, Cheeto-ridden neckbeard scum.
I've got a problem. I need help. Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
No,
man.
The gaming life is the best, though. It's, like, so good. So, Wolfenstein, XCOM 2, Pyrion, I guess you've just been playing a lot of Dota.
Yeah, I've actually been playing a hell of a lot of Dota. It's weird because towards the end of a patch's lifetime, I do eventually get sick of playing the game. And I mean, Lewis at the moment is going through a phase where he's not playing much because of his move. But I guarantee you that once he gets internet again, he'll be like, I'm fucking back, baby. And even if he tells himself that I'm not so big on Dota at the moment, once he plays one game, he'll be hooked again. So I took a slight break after the international last year where I was just so doted out. And I was like, oh my God, I need a bit of a break. And I played other things for like 2 or 3 weeks. I was streaming.
You played a lot of Blood Bowl.
You play a lot of Blood Bowl.
A lot of Blood Bowl. And then I was like, actually, this game kind of relies on luck a lot. I mean, I love Blood Bowl. And if you're, like, generally speaking, I'm a decent Blood Bowl player. So if I play against another player, even if they have a lot of luck, I can still win because they make too many other mistakes, right? But in Dota, there's so little luck compared to Blood Bowl that I kind of like the fact that when I win, I know it wasn't luck. And when I lose, I know I didn't just get stiffed by the dice. Like, I fucked up. And I kind of like, it's a very honest game. And that's why my Dota addiction will never die. Because it's one of those games where it's pure skill. I mean, yes, you get some like, oh my God, that bash chance. Or, oh my God, he got that crit. But it's rare that the game is decided by one random moment. It's almost always decided by good play over the course of 45 minutes because it's such a long game. If the games were 5 minutes long, then yeah, you could definitely have an argument for luck. But it's so much about 45 minutes to an hour of solid teamwork and gameplay that I think it balances out.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that it's not that I dislike about Dota. Like, I respect the fact that, you know, they are intense games. You have to be there. You have to be concentrating. You have to contribute to your team. But I think, like, just the type of gamer I am, I can't commit to it. And right. I find it hard to, like, have a long-term commitment to that where I have to have, like, 45 minutes to an hour of uninterrupted gameplay that I can't just be, like, because I'm pretty casual.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
At heart, you know, like, I like to just dick around in games. Like, I enjoy, like, game mechanics. I enjoy stories and stuff like that. And I think that I get to a point in Dota where it's just too much. Like, it's just, it feels like hard work after a while.
It is hard work. It is.
I can't
really
justify
hard work.
like completely shutting down for an hour at a time and doing nothing else, sort of thing. Like, even when I'm playing something like XCOM or whatever, like I'll frequently just, like, you know, tab out, do something else for a little bit, or like have a little chat with my wife or whatever, you know, and then come back to it, sort of thing, you know, like,
yeah.
But
yeah,
an hour uninterrupted is too much for me. Like, I just can't do it.
And it's not just an hour of playing the game. It's an hour of, like, intense concentration, talking and coordinating, and your eyes are moving around, your hands, you know, you're moving like crazy. And it is a really, really intense game. You're right. Like, when I used to play World of Warcraft and I'd just be farming, like, levels and doing a little quest and just farming creeps, I'd be watching a movie on the other monitor or just listening to music, just relaxing.
No,
so that's a different kind of gaming entirely. I think let's put a bookend on this podcast. I've really enjoyed it. I hope everyone listening has.
Why do you keep trying to end the podcast? We're not done.
Because I need to go and make a cup of tea. I don't want this podcast. If we set a precedent that this podcast is going to be an hour and a half, everyone else is going to be expecting it for the rest of time.
We've got to,
like, put a bookend on it.
We have questions to answer, though. Do you want to do the questions quick and then we'll end?
I'll tell you next time. Lewis, if you want to go make a cup of tea, me and Sips can answer the questions while you're making a cup of tea.
Go make
your cuppa. We'll handle the questions. I can tell you're bored, Lewis. Yeah.
No. So we could record.
You go make your tea while we speak to the questions.
Yeah, we got questions.
Go on, then. Let's do the questions. Sure.
Okay. Are we done with games? We're not talking about games anymore.
No, we're done.
Do we want to talk about the Division at all? Lewis's favorite subject.
For fuck's sake. You asked about 15 people. Should I buy the Division?
Everyone
has given you a different
answer. I mean, my problem is I've watched videos of it, and it all looks the same, like hiding behind cars and a bus stop and shooting a guy like 100 times and eventually he falls over. And I'm just kind of like, do I want to do that for hours and hours and hours to get a slightly improved shotgun or a different backpack? And I'm like, nah.
Man, part of me feels like, and then the other part of me feels like, nah, it's not like for me, sort of thing. But there's certain, like, game mechanics that I think are in that game that appeal to me, but I don't know if I want to, like, I don't want that game to just consume my life and it be the only thing I play for, like, a couple of weeks because...
Yeah.
I get the impression that you need friends to play it with and...
We have none of those. We have none of those. Yeah, big trouble.
All right, I have really terrible
social
skills.
Let's do the questions. We've done video games, so I want to see what questions you've got. Let's hear them.
All right. There's four quick questions, okay? The first one comes from a chap called Alexander Rutkowski, and he asks, out of the three of us, who is the saltiest?
It's probably me right now, but
I'd say Lewis generally is probably salty.
It is me generally, actually. Yeah. You, PFLAX, you can get a bit fake salty.
I can. I'm generally just pretending to be salty, but I do occasionally get genuinely salty. Occasionally, and when I do get genuinely salty, it actually ruins my mood for the rest of the day. Which is why when people think I'm being salty, the fact that I'm still okay to just carry on is not, you know, means I'm not
Sips,
salty.
You don't really get salty. You kind of go from one extreme to the other. So Sips will skip salty and go straight to asshole.
Desperation asshole, yeah. I tend to do that, yeah. So, like, if things are stacked against me big time...
It's either fine
I just turn
or
into, like,
asshole.
The I'm not playing this anymore asshole where I just don't even control my character anymore and just laugh at people and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't go salty, you go troll mode. You basically just ruin it for everyone else.
I have been known to get a little bit salty, though. Like, in playing Dota is, like... Dota's probably my saltiest. Like,
I can't really tell when you're being salty, though. That's the thing with you. It's difficult to tell when you're actually mad because you sound so comical when you're salty.
It's kind that's of good.
It's
actually,
kind of it's such a comical sort of. It's like, God damn! It's like that. And then you don't know whether that's you being stupid or you actually being salty because it just sounds the same.
No.
When I'm really angry, I over talk it. Like, I'll really try and make my point like I'm in a fucking courtroom or something, you know? Like, it's Law and Order, it's the final scene. That's it. I'm, like, building a
objection.
Case. I'm calling witnesses and shit. It's ridiculous. Yeah. That's how you know I'm salty, when I start building a massive case and I'm, like, really arguing the point and trying to, you know, that's the real salt right there.
Well, this is perfect into the next question, because the next question comes from a chap, or maybe a chapette, called Bolt Galt, who asks all three of us, why are we so bad at playing games? I mean, you could fabricate a case around that. I mean, there's probably a lot of good reasons why we're apparently bad at games. Personally, I don't think I'm actually bad at games. I think what you see from me is gameplay with commentary. And I think if you try to realistically sit down, play a game for an hour, and talk the entire time, you're not going to play optimally. You just can't. You're not focused on the game. You're trying to think of things to talk about at the same time.
I think you're making up excuses. I think we've given a lot of reasons in this podcast why we are not necessarily good at games. And it's because sometimes we are good at games that we try and focus on. But sometimes, I don't know.
I don't think I excel at games. But then again, I don't think anyone really gives a fuck if you're good at games or not.
I think only a very small percentage of people who are very, very good at all games as well. Games are such an enormous spectrum.
Yeah. I think that if it's entertaining, who fucking cares if you're good or not? Like, how many people do you see who are really amazingly good at a game and also funny and entertaining? Like, that's pretty
rare. It's a little
bit
like saying, you know, why are you bad at playing the piano? Because I haven't spent 10,000 hours playing the piano.
Yeah, but there's a difference in there. I mean, if I could play the piano, but I just wasn't, like, occasionally hit the wrong key or whatever, that would be... Oh, I'm still playing
this
a piano.
This question is innocent. It doesn't actually mean anything. We're not probably bad at games any more than you are. Like, I think, you know, we're probably just average. I think a lot of people are average. I think even people, when you see them, like, pro streamers playing a game that they are not a pro in, they're just average. You know, Admiral Bulldog plays fucking some Star Wars Jedi Knight or whatever. He's just average. He's not some sort of mega ninja.
I'm actually gonna disagree with you on that. I've actually, because I've played games, like, at an event, and you'll play a game with pro gamers that they haven't played before, and they figure out the game and the
quicker.
Way quicker. Yeah. And their reactions and their mechanics with any controller and everything is so good. And they'll spot things that you don't. Like, their speed of thought that they've got to reacting to what's on the screen and their input and everything, and what you're doing
but
is
you are
is really
a 40-year-old man. Maybe that's that's it.
Not for 12 more days, all right? Not for 12 more days. I'm a 39-year-old man.
Yeah.
Hashtag salt.
Take that, Lewis. Hashtag.
Yeah. I don't mind.
Not 40.
I don't care about being 40. I mean, what am I, a footballer? Am I going to have to retire? No, I don't give a shit. What are people going to stop watching? Oh, 40. Woof, I'm out of here. Like, who cares? Please don't stop
You might
watching.
Slow down a bit. Your APM might suffer, though. This is a thing.
Fuck, I know guys in this office who seem older than you, people.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you don't need to worry
I am a real man child. I mean, I've got kids and I still just sit around playing games all day. I mean, it's just...
Me too.
But that's good.
Amen.
It's perfect. Yeah. I think that's the one thing we didn't mention was that being a dad gives you the ability to be a kid and play with Lego and Meccano and shit that you really want to play with as a kid.
Yeah, it's kind of boring, actually. Like, you can't... Lego and stuff, it's kind of boring.
It is a bit boring. It's kind of fun, though, because it reminds you of being a kid again. That's what, like, one fun thing about having kids, isn't it? You relive parts of your childhood through them again.
I hated being a kid, though, so it kind of... I hated it. I couldn't wait to grow up. I wanted to get out of school and just be free. That was it. The chains of education that I...
You've been 40 since you were 11.
I want to go back
to
school every day, pretty much.
I hated it so much. You liked school?
I liked the social aspect of school. I didn't like having to sit in a classroom and, you know, be sort of taught stuff or whatever. But I liked going to a place that everybody else had to go to and just, like, horsing around at school and... like getting detentions and stuff like that. It's pretty fun. Yeah, I liked it.
Hated it.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, it was bad at the time. At the time, it was like, fuck, I hate school. I want to get out and stuff. But honestly, like, well, not now so much because I get to play video games for a living. But if I had to work, if it was a toss-up between working in some shitty office job or some shitty retail job or living my entire life, like, in high school, I would totally go back to high school.
That would be weird, though.
It would be weird.
Yeah.
It would be pretty weird. It'd be like an Adam Sandler movie, but I'd be cool with
that. It wouldn't be that weird. You could be a teacher.
No.
I think that's how it works. Right?
Yeah, but no. They don't have any people fun. Are teachers. Come on. Where's the...
No, teachers, yeah. They just, like, go into the staff room and just, like... try to kill themselves every day. Yeah, pretty much. Drink like coffee that's got like a ton of whiskey in it and stuff.
What else have you got? So give us a question.
I just wanted to say one more thing about this, being bad at games. A lot of the time as well, I mean, you can't judge somebody's ability to play a game based on the first time they've ever played that game. You know what I mean? Like, nobody sits down and plays a game for the first time and is actually good at it. Like, doesn't really work that way. And a lot of the time, like, if somebody posts a YouTube video or whatever, it's the first time they played the game because they want that experience to be fresh and stuff. So you can't really judge. I'm just saying. It's not
Stop
an excuse.
Stop judging. Stop with the
it's
judging.
It's just a fact. Yeah. All right. Harry Klein is the next person with the question. It's a little bit of a weird one. What is your favorite game from the early 2000s, if you can remember any games from the early 2000s? There's a few. I've thought about this because I sort of looked at the question some time ago.
I can tell you what mine is. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Medal of Honor.
Oh, Medal of Honor. That's a good one, actually.
I used to play that online when I got got 1 meg or whatever broadband when I first got broadband. I used to play that online. I used to play it all the time, every night. I absolutely loved that game. And there were lots of mods and maps and stuff. I was totally addicted to that game. I loved it so much.
That was a good game.
Man.
Early 2000s for me would have been PlanetSide. That came out early 2000s. That was pretty fun.
I used to
play that a lot.
PlanetSide. Shit.
Star Wars Galaxies. I used to play the shit out of that game.
Oh, wow.
Fuck,
my friends used to play that as well. They loved it.
It was fun. It was fun up until they introduced, like, the sort of... it went through this sort of phase where it was a cool game because it wasn't sort of... There were a lot of things in the game that just weren't thought out, but they were just in the game and people sort of worked around them and did stuff and it was cool. And then they tried to make it into like a serious MMO because WoW came out. So all of a sudden you had all of these characters littered across all these different planets that had exclamation marks above their heads and there was quests and stuff.
Yeah.
And it kind of wrecked the game in a weird way. It gave this structure to a game that seemed to thrive on not having structure. The structure was defined by the players. And then when they tried to introduce this structure, I think it just ruined the game. I feel anyway. And I stopped playing it at that point. But then I moved on to playing WoW, which was weird because it was a very structured game. But of course, it was a very popular game.
I really enjoyed playing that.
It was more of a community. Anyway. I mean, I sort of think of this in terms of a time. I mean, what year did you go to university? I started university in 2002.
I started in 1999. I started going to college.
1995 was when I started.
And I finished in 2002?
Up until I went to university, I'd played PC games a lot, but I'd evolved from a PC game into a console game, and I had a PlayStation and an N64, and I played Banjo-Kazooie and all that crap. And that was fucking fantastic games. And then, you know, the Super Mario 64, all the golden age, Ocarina of Time, you know, the golden age of Nintendo games. And then straight into Morrowind was out in 2002. I remember that was the first thing I played when I went to university. And then I went from that into Dark Age of Camelot, which was a big MMO, Galaxies, into World of Warcraft, and then into other MMOs. And then I kind of lost 10 years. Playing those games. I missed a lot of big games that came out between World of Warcraft.
I did too. Yeah,
quitting World of Warcraft. But I mean that was my Morrowind was a real big one for me in 2002, in the early 2000s. But yeah, I mean most of my formative games were before that, and I guess for you guys it was as well. It was the earlier stuff were you a big PlayStation or Nintendo? What was your sort of... Did you have an Ether?
We had very Nintendo house up until PlayStation 2 came out, and then it was like we had PlayStation 2 following. I think we had a Nintendo 64, and we played the shit out of that all the way up until PlayStation 2 came out. And then when PlayStation 2 came out, it was from there. It was just like PlayStations.
all the way.
For me, the time when I really liked console games was when I had a Super Nintendo, and I would play like Super Star Wars and Street Fighter and all the Mario games and stuff like that. And
yeah,
the Zelda games, they were so good. I mean, I was young. I was like really young. You know, I was like still at school, like 12, 13, 14, whatever. That was amazing. And then
Link to the Past was amazing. Remember that game?
What platform was that?
That came out for the Super Nintendo, and you could go like back in time to like this like evil sort of like alternate reality and stuff.
Game.
It was fucking awesome. Yeah. Really
I still want to play these old Super Nintendo games like Secret of Mana and
Secret of Mana. Was
shit, yeah, no, yeah, Link Trigger. To the Past. I actually called the Nintendo hotline because I was stuck at one point. That was in the days.
No
yeah,
fucking
I called
way.
Them up. Yes.
I called the Nintendo hotline as well.
It was so good.
I remember calling it for like certain games.
Didn't you guys get Nintendo Power, like the magazine? I used to get that.
Too expensive,
it used to have all
dude.
The maps of like Final Fantasy dungeons and stuff. It was awesome.
Too expensive.
There was a magazine called Super Play, which was a Super Nintendo magazine, quite famous actually back in the day. It was kind of quite funny and quite adult as well. So there was it was almost like it wasn't really a kids magazine.
Yeah. Like PC Zone was like that. When there was a PC Zone and PC Gamer, PC Gamer was the more straight laced. PC Zone was much funnier, and you know had lots of jokes about bogeys and stuff like that. You know, the kind of things that kids like. But before I got into PC gaming, when PCs were still garbage, before like the you know the 386 and 486 and the Pentium and stuff actually started being able to do graphics, it was the Amiga, the Atari ST. Like they were the precursor to PC gaming, because it wasn't a console, it had a keyboard, and then PC gamers, you know, once they came out with the idea of decent processors and then eventually graphics cards, then it sort of liberated PC gaming. But the Amiga had been doing games that should have been on PC. If PCs had got their, you know, act together earlier, the Amiga was amazing. Amazing, some of the games on that.
There is something to be said for playing games from your childhood, and I recommend you guys do it and go as far back as you can and see if you can do it again, because it somehow triggers these both feelings and memories in your head that you sort of, or feelings, weird emotions like that you associated at the time. It's really weird. It's like going through the loft of your house and finding stuff that you can't, and it's like, holy shit, I remember this.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? There will be those holy shit moments when you play games from your childhood or watched films from your childhood that you very, very, that you almost didn't expect you remembered. But for example, like looking through an old Amiga catalogue of all the old games and then just catching a name and saying, hey, hang on a minute, was that, oh my God, Battletoads or whatever? Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, so, though, you go back to those old games and you remember them a lot more fondly.
There is that rose-tinted spectacles nostalgia hit. Yeah, you're right. And it's like, wow, this is not as I remember. But sometimes it doesn't matter because it's already triggered that pathway to thinking, okay, that's led me to this and now I'll play this and this is a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, me and Ben playing the old XCOM recently, we finished that on stream.
Oh yeah, the original.
So
XCOM.
Rewarding to actually play it again and talk about it, because it was really weird that I found someone who had played the shit out of this game as well, and so we had this shared like experience that we neither of us realized. And it was like, and so I was saying things like, oh my God, what if you do this? And he was like, oh yeah, no, but if you do this, then you could do this. And I was like, oh, holy shit, he knows stuff about this game. He's telling me stuff. It's like, I found a kindred spirit.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to marry
maybe
him.
Maybe he's a soulmate. You know, maybe like...
Beautiful.
That might be it.
Maybe like the Brindley dynasty or whatever it is. Maybe it begins with Ben.
Who knows?
Who knows? All right, listen, one more question and then we can wrap up, okay?
Okay.
I know
okay.
Lewis, we're holding Lewis here against his will at this point, but I mean, there's a format. There's a format that was agreed upon going into this.
Yep,
and then fucking early climax Brindley decides that 45 minutes that we're done.
What did we agree upon? How long did we agree upon?
An hour,
we
said it was probably going to be. Half. Yeah.
We totally were.
An hour and a half?
Yeah, we're on an hour and a half now, pretty much. So
we're
almost done. Don't worry. All right. The last question here is from Sean Matthews. And he asks, what books are you all reading at the moment? And what is your favorite? For me personally, I'm not reading any books right now. My favorite book of all time, though, if you want to know, is Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut.
Nice.
Good fucking God.
All right, what have you got, P-Flex?
I actually just finished the third book of the Red Rising
Le
trilogy.
Bible.
Hey, you listened to Sips's book, didn't you? Because it was fancy Kurt Vonnegut, right?
Yeah.
This is Pierce Brown's trilogy, the Red Rising trilogy. Red Rising, Golden Sun, and Morning Star. And it's a sci-fi trilogy set in a future where society is run according to a very strict caste system. And you've got the golds and the blues and the silvers and the pinks and all the reds.
I'm going to have to pick this up.
Is it good?
It is hands down one of the most fun books I've honestly ever read. And it is just ridiculous, balls to the wall, over the top action. And it's brilliant. It continues to surprise you and stuff. Apparently they're going to make it into a movie. And he's making a future three books.
What's this guy's name?
Pierce Brown. Just look for Red Rising. Get all three books. The trilogy is complete. I've been waiting for ages. Shout out to my friend Ken Hotbeard Chen for recommending it at like a TI ages ago, and it was brilliant. It's the most ridiculous action movie in a book, and it's a trilogy, and it's brilliant. I loved it.
Cool.
I have been reading some stuff. After finishing Game of Thrones, right, I went on a binge and went through a lot of kind of dark military fantasy, okay? I like historical fiction
stuff where Hitler won, Lewis, yeah? So you could fantasize
dark
about...
Dark military fantasy? Are you fucking real?
Yeah, your brown ship.
So there's a series of books by a guy called Glenn Cook who wrote Black Company. It's about this elite mercenary unit who is kind of doesn't have a lot of morals, and they will basically just be employed by anyone who pays them. And they have this long history. They're the last of the free companies of Qatar, and they go around the world working for various horrible people and doing lots of horrible stuff. It's good. It's like, I like it.
Wait, what was that fucking Michael J. Fox movie where he goes to Vietnam and all that shit happens and he doesn't agree with it, and he comes back and he's like jaded as fuck? Shit. Is that what it's like, Lewis?
No, the other one I've been going through, which I actually struggled with the last sort of series, few books in the series, that was Stephen Erickson's Malazan's Books of the Fallen. There's a really good one in the middle called Chain of Dogs, I think it's called, or something like that, or House of Chains, and it's a sort of military fantasy set on these continents in the middle of nowhere. And it's mostly soldiers, but very occasionally there's some sort of wizard in there who has incredible or sort of weird powers. But I like it in fantasy when using powerful powers has a drawback, okay? So there's not some like Harry Potter guy who can just summon a fireball. You know, when you do that, it kind of, maybe like every fireball you summon makes you older or something like that. So, you know, you've got these like 25-year-old wizards who look like a really ancient old man, and he has to like, in order to like summon a fireball, you know, it's like really dark stuff. Like Warhammer 40K, you know. Warhammer 40K is such a cool and cruel and dark world, okay? Like the way it works is the Emperor... they have to sacrifice 10,000 psychers to him every day for him to live. And he's this basically corpse in a chair ruling the empire.
It's a bit like the Mad Max universe, like really dark and fucking really, twisted and really, shit.
Yeah, and everything's really grimy. And they've forgotten how to use all the technology. And so everything's all kind of just rusty and knackered. And all the power armor is like hundreds and thousands of years old. It's all just...
That's cool.
And they've basically been like on the verge of this empire collapsing for thousands of years. But they're just holding it together. And like it's great. It's like the last days of Rome. There's a lot of historical cool stuff out there if you're interested in... battles. I love a good battle. Oh. I love a good siege.
Yeah, yeah.
With some guys in the siege. You don't know if they're going to get through it or not.
I like a good battle too. I watched like the most recent series of Game of Thrones. I was like really late watching it. And there was that fucking, you know, when they go to rescue the people of the north from that big town.
That's a good battle.
Holy shit, that was a good battle. I was like fucking edge of my seat the whole time. I couldn't believe it. I loved it.
Yeah. I love a battle.
Love a good battle.
That's one of the things that George R. R. Martin tries to shy away from, though.
I know.
Certainly, like, in the earlier books, he sort of, you see...
You hear about
the
battle.
You know the battles are happening.
Yeah.
But usually you're watching someone else while that happens, so he doesn't have to...
He likes all
the
fucking
battle.
Political wheeling and dealing and behind-the-scenes sort of shit.
He likes... And he doesn't shy
away
from...
It's like House of Cards a bit.
Doing, like, Sam's thick pink
Shaft or whatever. You know, he loves to think about
lovely descriptive. Fucking Sam's, Wily Coyote in his pants, yeah.
maybe he shies away from battles because there's very few tits out in a battle. Like maybe
that's true. Yeah, people usually cover up their tits in a battle. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. All right, well, Lewis, the moment that you've been waiting for so long now, you ready?
Yep.
You can do your outro now.
Yay!
Right. Well, listen up. Thank you, Sips, and thank you, Pyrion. This has been the first of the Triforce podcast.
Yep.
And we will be back hopefully next week with another one.
Definitely next week.
If you guys like it, let us know. Send us your questions and messages. Let us know what you want us to talk about. And tweet them at us or send them in. We haven't got an email address. I don't know how they can send them in.
Tweet them.
I don't care.
Yeah, I
follow
guess
us on Twitter.
Yeah.
We're at Sips _ at Yogscast Lewis and at Pyrion Flax on Twitter.
Thank you. On Twitter.
And
well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Peace out.
So much.
Peace out.
Peace and love.
See you next time. Bye.
Goodbye.
See you later. Bye.
Goodbye.